Welcome to Mad Radio Network.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Mad Radio Network. This is the final word on hockey. I'm your host, Jim Berenger, back alongside Mark Weiss, Coach Jay on assignment. Though, if he does chime in, he will chime in via text. You can find the audio version of this show on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you get your podcast. We appreciate that, as I always do on that. Always follow us along on Mad Radio Network on Twitter and on Facebook, because this is where you will find the latest, greatest news. Mark, welcome back.
Glad to be back. As they say in the business, I was on assignment last week. I gave everybody a little virtual tour of UBS Arena that I went to last week, courtesy of our good friend and listener, Paul Shopman, who invited me and took me to the NYPD versus FDNY 48th annual classic charity hockey game. And boy, did that game not disappoint. 2-1 overtime FD win. Lots of fun.
Absolutely. It was great fun. And our buddy Ricky says, good luck, guys. I can see if he wants to come on and join us real quick too. If he's around, I could send him the link. But I appreciate it. Yeah, it looked like a great game at UBS Arena. And you know what? Wasn't our boy in goal for FDNY?
Nicky Battaglia.
Yeah. He was in net. I saw some photos of him in net.
Well, did you see the picture of him behind the glass with me and Paul next to it?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. It's good when you know some folks who are in the game. Matter of fact, Paul himself knows the coach of FDNY. So that's how we had our connection to actually get into a sold-out building of raucous fans.
Nice.
I think everybody expected that building to be sold out in May. They just didn't expect it to be just for FD and PD.
Yeah, but you know what? Those games never disappoint. It was on Garden Ice last year, and then it was back on Long Island this year. I just sent the link to Ricky. Ricky said he's going to jump on for us.
Cool.
Just talk some Rangers hockey, what went on in the first couple of games. Game three goes tonight, Rangers and the Penguins. Right now, game three going on as we record is Capitals and Panthers. And the Capitals up 3-1 in this game. They look strong.
Not shocking me at all.
Not shocking me at all. This is what happens when you have a lot of pressure on you to win a playoff series. Panthers, I've said this numerous times, they have not won a playoff series since 1996 when they went to the Stanley Cup final. And from my observation, it seems to me that they're finding it a lot harder to score goals and to have these comebacks they had in the regular season.
Well, we've said this many, many times, and it's probably when we'll harp on Toronto, although we'll give them some credit in a couple of minutes, but we'll harp on their last 5 years, because those easier to get, not easy, because there's no goal that's, let's get that out of the way. There's no goal scored in the NHL that's easy, but right. It's easier for the skilled guys to get room in the regular season. The playoffs is a whole other beast. And until you figure out a way to acclimate and score from traffic, you don't win series.
No, exactly. You don't. And Florida Panthers are just not generating enough traffic in this game. Ilya Samsonov came in for Vitek Vanacek. They decided to make the goalie switch, and it seems to be working. Ovechkin on the board. And the Capitals have been here before. I mean, they've won the Stanley Cup. They know what it takes. They've been through a ton of heartbreak. So they know what it takes to win in the playoffs, something this Panthers team has not, this group anyway, has not learned to do yet. And we've said it numerous times that you have to learn to lose before you can win. And you have to know about that heartbreak before you can, you know, move on. So it's definitely tough for sure for this Panthers team out there. Now, again, there's still a period left. These are the comeback cats for a reason. But you know what? Washington just seems to be playing that good defensive style.
Well, I'll say two things quickly about this series. One is the fact that Washington's been doing it without Mr. Wilson. And that's pretty huge when you consider the fact that he's a playoff performer and he's a gritty guy. Well, that's kind of an understatement. Mm-hmm. And he gets under people's skin, and yet they're still doing it without him. Ovi's hitting people, which is not what he's been doing in the regular season. So he stepped it up into playoff hockey. So that's on the Washington side. And then I'll flip it to the side for the Panthers. You got a goalie in net right now who I forgot was a two-time Vezina Trophy winner. And then I said to myself, where did he win those Vezina trophies? Oh, he won them in Columbus. And what style of hockey were they playing in Columbus?
Defensive style John Tortorella hockey.
And what style of hockey is he now playing behind in?
Run and gun hockey.
Those kind of goalies don't mix well with those kind of systems.
No, exactly.
It's what it is.
Exactly.
To me, there's two types of goalies. They're those guys who, you know, they'll see their 20 to 25 shots, and by the time you get through the defense, they just stand back there and you can't get it by them. And then there are those goalies who have to see a lot of puck, and that keeps them sharp. And, of course, those are crapshoot kind of goalies too, in a sense. And this guy, the more puck he sees, the more mortal he looks. That's all I'm going to say about that. I know Cats fans are going to come rain down on me for that one, especially all my family and friends in South Florida. I love you guys, but I was a Caps guy for this series from the beginning, and I'm not abandoning ship, that's for sure.
But I would like to welcome to the show my buddy Ricky down in Tennessee, big Ranger fan, and he had a lot of thoughts the other night on a Ranger game. And welcome to the program today, Ricky.
Hey, how are you guys? Hey, Captain, what's up?
What's going on, Rick?
Hey, I love your point about the goaltending there. I always say there's two type of goalies. There's Henrik Lundqvist and there's Martin Brodeur. Martin Brodeur faced 20 shots a game.
Thank you.
Stopped every one of them. And then Henrik would face 45 and lose 4-3 or 3-2.
Exactly. But the one other thing that we have to throw out there is the reason he saw those 20 shots a game is because he had three Hall of Fame defensemen in front of him.
Absolutely. and the trap. I mean, listen, the neutral zone trap goes back to the Canadians in the 70s, which people don't really want to admit, but they played the best defensive system ever with Savard and Robinson and those people.
Because they had the three best defensemen in the history of a trifecta in the 70s.
Absolutely. And then the Devils took that in the 90s and early 2000s, and they won cups. And if you look right now, Shesterkin's the guy who, more shots, the better with this kid. He's just one of these guys who has to have the puck.
What was the common denominator between those Montreal Canadiens teams of the 70s and that Devils team, the first one that won with the trap?
Yeah, Jacques Lemaire was
a
member of both of those teams.
Coco was the common denominator.
And also Larry Robinson was a member of both of those.
You're right. Larry Robinson also
was in the second. Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. Or as Scotty Bowman rechristened it, the left wing lock.
Wing lock. Yeah.
But so game three goes tonight for Rangers Penguins. Ricky, what has your thoughts been on the first two games of the series so far?
Should be 2-0. Right.
I'm going to say, and I was just going to say, I don't want to come across as biased, because if the call went the other way, I would have been just as mad. I just want to see the game officiated correctly. And I don't agree with the way the first game was called. There was 100%. A couple situations besides the goal, watching Zibrana get punched in the face, literally,
yes.
Love punched in the face in front of a referee, no call. The call on Trouba to give them the 5-on-3 was a joke. It was worse than the call on Nemeth in the second game.
That was brutal.
Pittsburgh has something, and I don't want to get into the whole conspiracy theory, but there is a lot of fan bases. If you come to Nashville, the most hated team is the Pittsburgh Penguins. The entire Eastern Conference hates the Pittsburgh Penguins, and the reason is they are obviously shown some kind of a bias by the NHL referees. The goal, Jim, great going back and getting the goal against the Devils and putting that out. That was a great journalistic thing to do. Same play, goal counts. Same play, 2015 Rangers Stanley Cup Finals. It counts for Los Angeles. The Rangers lose game two. Later on in that series, if you go back, with about 7 seconds left in the game, Crosby gets stopped on the doorstep, if you remember, by Shesterkin, right? In game one. Carter throws both knees straight down into the – he drops a Pedro Morales knee drop on Igor Shesterkin with 7 seconds left in the game and no call.
WWF reference.
Absolutely, and no call. Okay, so I don't understand how you could protect one goaltender, not protect the other one, not call it. How does Carter, I don't even want to get into game two, what he did. I mean, I actually watched Andrew Strickland, who I respect as a journalist beyond words, come out and say Shesterkin took a dive and kicked his legs out on Carter and should have been penalized. I mean, are you kidding me? Cindy, here's one thing. I don't know if you caught on my Twitter, Jim. Louis, the Pittsburgh goaltender, comes out in an interview with Gord Stellick and says that both French referees skated to the Pittsburgh bench and in French, 2 minutes before Billy DeSmith, as I call him, gets taken out with the injury, told him he's cramping and having a problem, start to warm up. What gives them the right to tell him to begin warming up that his goaltender is injured to give him an unfair advantage of not coming in the game stale?
None. And none. As a referee, I can tell you right now, we are not allowed to say anything to teams to give them any advice on gameplay.
He gave it on NHL radio, live on NHL radio. I had a couple minutes to prepare and stretch because both referees told me in French he's cramping. So I want to know, where is the game committee, where is the NHL rules committee going to stand on that call? Because that is complete and utter bullcrap.
Right.
Well, let's flip that around. Let's say two referees in Russian came back and said something to Georgiev to do the same thing because Shesterkin was cramping. I guarantee it'd be front page news.
It's 100%. The only thing as an official you're really supposed to do to the bench is for the spotter if the goalie's not right with his head. That's like the only thing. Like, there's leeway with the head. That's like absolutely the only
but
thing.
But that's for any player though, Jim.
Right. Exactly.
That's why this league says when your helmet falls off, you got to make a beeline to the bench or grab your helmet. You can't skate.
Right. I also think they're one of the stupidest rules.
They don't want lawsuits.
I also think that's one of the stupidest rules I've ever seen in my entire life. Reason being, wait till somebody loses. What gives you, and I'm just saying, what happens if Sidney Crosby's standing in front of the net tonight and what Trouba walks up, skates up behind him and flicks his helmet off on a 2-on-1, he has to immediately leave the ice? When is it going to become?
Not Sidney. Everybody else does, not him.
I'm saying, when does it become it costs somebody a major scoring chance in a big game or they lose a game because that player doesn't leave the ice and takes a penalty?
Yeah, exactly.
The rule is stupid. I understand the rule. I get it. I know you don't want head injuries. I know it. I get it. You're going a little too far.
It's a bogus rule that they've robbed from USA Hockey, which officiates amateur hockey. And that's also a rule in the IIHF hockey, too,
is if in the World Championship, if you watch international hockey, once your helmet comes off, you have to immediately leave the ice.
Hey, Jim, let me ask you a question. You know more about minor league hockey than I do in a thimble, okay?
Right.
But I know this. When did we become figure skating? Because there's more goddamn contact in a couple's figure skating than there is in the NHL.
Okay? There really is.
The Nemeth penalty the other night was just breathtakingly bad. If you watch my Twitter, I actually snapped. I mean,
he didn't even touch him.
He didn't touch him.
Now we're giving penalties for intent.
Intent to cross check.
I watched the game last night. There were about six cross checks in front of the net. None of them were called.
Jim, have you watched the Carolina series or watched Tampa Bay? If the officials in the Rangers game 1 and 2 did the Tampa Bay game or did the Hurricanes game, there wouldn't have been a player left on the bench in the first 7 minutes of either game.
No, there would not have been because they were cross checking the heck out of everybody. I mean, I think the other night I was watching, who was it? Oh, last night, Nugent Hopkins scored. He got slashed as his stick broke and scored. I'm like, geez, like, what is this? It's like,
do you know how hard you have to slash someone to break their stick?
Exactly.
Well, I'll be honest with you. These new sticks nowadays are a little bit questionable.
$300 and they break it on the snap of a dime.
How about what they did to Butch Nevich the other night?
Oh, in the Minnesota game, yeah.
I mean, literally tried to break his ankle, and they go, nah, we're not going to suspend him.
It's a fine.
Don't worry about it.
I was definitely on board with that. I was like, hey, wait a minute. We're going to suspend Clifford some people might disagree with me on this, on a borderline 5-minute major for boarding.
I think the hit deserved to be more than a minor.
Right.
I don't think it was suspension worthy.
Right. But if we're going to suspend that, then we need to suspend who was it? Who the heck was it? It wasn't Scandella. Scandella's on the Blues. The defenseman for Minnesota did to Buchnevich on the back. Spurgeon. He literally tried to intentionally hurt the guy and not make him in the series. And we're just going to fine him under the CBA.
In the Boston series. I mean, have you seen the physical contact in that series?
Yeah. I mean, what did Svechnikov? Svechnikov threw Lindholm. He took him out of the series. But
Let me ask you a question, right? Captain, this is for you. Jim's a little younger than us. Svechnikov pulled that crap in 1980, 1990, early 2000, he would not have been on the ice for 5 seconds longer. Any American or Canadian player would have beat his butt right then and there. End of story. Taking the instigator rule and putting it in hockey, eliminating the players who have any kind of physicality, have made this league a joke because some little skinny 185-pound Russian kid is running around injuring people with gigantic Scott Steven open ice hits without a single retaliation taking place.
You are so right. This game, are we G-rated or can I go off the rails on this one?
Keep it a little G-rated.
Okay, it's a P-blank-Y rated type of game now. They have blankified this game to the point where the real hits are gone, the cheap shot hits are allowed, yep. And you can't get back at the guy because if you do, you risk going to the box for 5 minutes and giving them a 5-minute major. It's garbage. And I understand that they wanted to get a lot of the fighting out because they wanted to, number one, open the game up to more talent coming over from Europe, and they wanted to speed the game up. I get what they were doing with it, but why can't we have both?
Listen,
why can't we make sure that those 5'7" guys that Ricky's talking about, the way 160 pounds, can't, you know, slew foot the crap out of somebody like me who's 220 and 6 foot tall?
Do you know in the first Ranger game, game one of the Ranger game, and I'm drawing a blank on who did it, but I tweeted it. I'll have to go back and look. Shesterkin was slew footed.
Yeah.
It was on the side of the net. He made a save. Puck went into the corner. He went to go back into the net, and the player from Pittsburgh literally soccer kicked him in the back of his ankles, and nothing was called. And what pissed me off was Sam Rosen or Joe pointed it out. And if you watch, finally, in the Calgary game the other night when Kachuk got into the fight, and then there was finally a secondary fight called. Because if you noticed in the Tampa series, no one got thrown out. Everything happened at the same time. We're going to just call misconducts. The referee selective rules in the NHL, nothing is the same game to game. Nothing.
Or series to series.
You call it in one and you don't call it in the other one.
But the problem is that rule enforcement in this league is subjective.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's a problem because as a player, you don't know what you can do. As a referee, when I referee a game, I lay the law down early. This is what I'm going to accept. This is what I'm not going to accept. And I'm the master of the double of the coincidental minor to send two guys who are nuts into the box for 3 minutes, because really it's 2 minutes plus a whistle, and they get to sit there and realize what they did, and everybody else sits there and says, I don't want to sit in the box and miss playing. And all of a sudden it tones the thing down. Well, listen, but if you let it get away, it amps up.
I was on your show early in the year, probably the first week of the season.
Yeah.
And I confirmed this from two different sources. One player, and Jim, you're going to know who I'm talking about immediately, and one media person who told me opening night, Ryan Reeves and Tom Wilson were both called into a private room at Madison Square Garden and told there would be severe repercussions if they made a circus out of this game and there was any kind of instance, any kind of occurrence between the two of them. So the NHL went in and went like this and snipped off the balls on the bulls. I'm going to add an animal to this so it becomes G-rated. They snipped the balls off the bull and said, we know he injured our best player last year. We know he humiliated your franchise. But if you retaliate, we're going to look at you differently and we're going to punish you hard. And that's what they did.
Ricky, who had that game on national TV that day?
ESPN.
And who do you think dictated that rule?
I don't know. Wait, let me catch on something. Do you remember last time ESPN had hockey? Their ads were built off of fighting.
Yeah, I know where that was. Yeah, yeah.
But remember when the last time ESPN hockey, what was it, 16 years ago? They weren't the woke station.
Yeah, you're right. You're right about that. They have changed tremendously.
They were sports, and they showed sports, and they knew that this is what sells and gets people watching. They're not sports anymore. Now they're more the entertainment part.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you.
I hate to say it, but that's where they're at. And NBC, you know, nipped them at the you-know-where last year, too, and a couple of years ago in the playoffs as well.
We went to the fishing network.
I don't want to get into them.
Yeah, they went to the fishing network.
We went to the fishing network.
Yep.
No.
Gary Bettman took the Outdoor Life Network instead of ESPN. That's all we have to say.
That's OTL. All we know. OLN, Outdoor Life.
Then it became Versus.
Versus. Then it became NBC Sports Network.
It was 11 channels.
Yeah, you couldn't find
the only time I ever watched that network before. God's honest truth. Jimmy, I bet you watched it too to watch Tour de France.
That was probably about it.
That's the only time my TV went
another
to
sport
that,
where they cut the balls off. Another sport where they cut the balls off somebody.
Yeah. But here's the problem. It's the physicality of the game that gets people to watch it. Turning it into ice capades with sticks does not attract any more viewers. It never did. It never will. But the people making the decisions have never understood this game and what it means to the fans.
Why is NASCAR the most watched sport in America?
Crashes.
Yeah.
Watches to see people crash.
Why do people
watch? That's pretty much it.
They want to see people crash and fall over a cliff. They don't watch it to see people driving in the country, biking in the countryside for 5 hours.
No.
Hey, let me show you real fast, guys. Let me turn the camera. Can you see that?
Yeah, that's a beauty. Guy Lafleur, baby.
Yeah, I got it back, bro. I cannot. That's probably my proudest piece of my collection. I love the flower. Rest in peace, Guy.
Yo, Guy Lafleur, one of the best ever to do it.
Just an amazing, amazing athlete. When he came back as a Ranger, his first preseason
89.
Meadowlands, and he played, you know, he came in and opening warm-ups. Back then, there was no nets. You know, there was no nets in the crowd. And he took a slap shot coming down the right-hand side at John Van Beesbrook, and he missed. It went over the glass, and I caught the puck here as a 13-year-old kid. And my cousin, who was 19, who took me to the game, was next to me, and it drove my hand back into his face, and I knocked him over the seat. And he got up and wanted to fight me, and I was holding the puck. And my hand was about 11 times the size. It looked like something out of The Simpsons. It was black and purple, and Guy skated over to the glass, hitting his stick on the glass and waving me downstairs because he saw what happened and he signed the puck. And it was one of my greatest sports memories. I have two pucks I've ever caught at a live game, Guy Lafleur and Wayne Gretzky. And I have two home run balls from the same game, Jose Canseco, Mark McGwire.
There you go. I mean, that's all you need to know about what's, you know, what.
Jeez, talking about being in the right place at the right time, brother.
Yeah.
Seriously. Yeah. Seriously. Right place, right time. I mean, look, these series, I mean, outside of the Rangers series, you know, where, you know, we can all talk about the officiating and we can talk about it in every series.
But Jimmy, before we leave that, I know you're going to make a great point, but I just want to say one thing about the officiating before we leave it.
Yeah.
The goal in game one, which cost the Rangers, the officiating call in game one, which cost the Rangers the game. And I'm not saying that because I got the Ranger jersey behind my back and stuff like that. And I live in New York, but I just want to say it because you can't overturn a call on the ice unless the video is conclusive the opposite way. Yep. If the call was on the ice that it was goalie interference, looking at that video, I probably couldn't overturn it because it was close and it's very subjective. And the same thing with the call on the ice. It was a goal. Called the goal, and you look at the video and it shows me nothing conclusive to overturn. That's where I have the problem.
Best supporting point to your argument right now, the Pittsburgh Penguin home announcer said, this goal should stand.
Exactly.
End of story.
You know, they were stunned, saying, wow, it's been waved off.
I mean, look.
I feel like when they're watching that and listening to these headpieces, somebody from the league office is saying, goal. They're not looking at it because anyone with two eyes looks at it and says, there's nothing conclusive here. You got to go with the call if there's nothing conclusive. And if the call, like I said, was the opposite way, you would have stuck with that too. There was no, it's like in baseball when they superimpose it so you can see this much gap between the guy's cleat and the base. You know, that's conclusive, but it shouldn't take 5 minutes. And this thing was quick.
And how about Gord Stellick and the NHL morning show the next day? They're the most anti-Ranger radio show ever. going on and saying, I think they got this. Like, you got guys who hate the Rangers.
Honestly, when you look at all the national shows and everything, of all the 06 teams, the Rangers are literally the most despised 06 team when it comes to 100%. And I don't get it, because it's the least successful in the world of Stanley Cups. I mean, Chicago's won 5. You know, we know how many Montreal and Toronto have won. Boston's won, 6? You know,
Detroit's up there.
Detroit's won 9. The Rangers got 4 friggin' ones and won in the last, 75 years, and yet they're so despised. I don't get where it comes from.
I'll tell you where it comes from.
Is it just because it's New York?
It's, if you go back in the 70s and the 80s, the Rangers were not as despised as they are now, right?
No.
You go to the early 90s, late 2000s, early 2000s, who became the head of the New York Rangers?
Glenn Sather.
Glenn Sather has tried to bully the NHL for 25, 30 years that he's been in the league. He has demanded rule changes. He has made offer sheets. Behind the scenes, he's made threats. He's Glenn Sather, the second he distanced himself from this team, will be the best thing that's ever happened to the Rangers. And the other thing that they don't like, I know for a fact, is Dolan is hated. Hated.
Oh, of course he is.
Hated.
But he doesn't even, but most of the time, he's concentrating on ruining the Knicks. He doesn't even care about the Rangers, which is why the Rangers have actually been able to be somewhat of a good franchise for 25 years.
Let me tell you a quick story. The Rangers were in the Stanley Cup Finals in 14, and one of the things I had was a connection for luxury box seats at the Rangers for the entire playoffs, right? They came to me from doing all my appearances that year with the players, asked me if I could fill out some boxes. So we went all the way through the playoffs, sitting in luxury boxes behind Lundqvist twice, up on the thing, and the box below Dolan and Sather. We were right there. So the Rangers are in the middle of game one in the playoffs, and Derek Stepan loses a faceoff. And one of the guys, not in our box, right below us in the crowd, screams, "Could you at least trade for an effing center that could win a faceoff?"
We still don't have that guy.
Hold on. 2 minutes later, the box has about 60 security guards in it, and we're all being thrown out of the box because Dolan heard it and said our box did it and mocked his general manager and had the entire box that was $750 a ticket, had the entire of every one of us thrown out and our tickets for the next game taken away.
So you guys got the Charles Oakley treatment.
We got the Oakley treatment.
You and got the Oakley.
Even said the security guard looked at us. The guy almost started crying. He's like, "Listen, I know who said it. I was in the section. I'm afraid for my job. I can't tell him he's making an accusation wrong."
That's crazy. That's so crazy. And like you said, I appreciate the comment earlier in regards to like great journalism, because to me, looking back, because I was at that Devil Ranger game when that happened, and the fact that Lindy Ruff didn't challenge that call makes me even think he didn't even knew it was a goal and it was not going to be overturned. That's why he didn't challenge it. I mean, yeah. Pittsburgh had to challenge the call at that time in the game. I get it. But to me, it was a goal. There was nothing inconclusive or conclusive and going the other way.
You just made a great point.
The bench, they know what
that time of the game, you cannot overturn the call on the ice. It has to be 1,000% one way or the other, not where you can lead to any kind of discrepancy and go, "Well, this side says it's a goal, that side said no." If that's the case, it's not 100% clear cut. The goal should stand.
It's right, exactly.
To be conclusive.
Yes,
that was 100%. The word I was trying.
No circumstantial evidence or subjectivity. Conclusive to overturn. Yep.
Yes, exactly. And to me, like, it goes, you know, I've been talking to some people about this and about this goalie interference thing, because there's too much gray area. It's black or white. To me, if you're going to say any contact with the goaltender, the goal's waved off, whether the puck goes in first or not, then it's no goal and it's goalie interference, period. If that's not the case, then we have to revisit the rule book. But there are some rules in hockey that I don't like. One of the places I play is if it goes off your skate, regardless if it's a kicking motion, it's no goal. I hate the rule. Everybody hates it.
Terrible
but it's
rule.
Consistently called.
But it's
if we're going to consistently call goalie interference, regardless if the puck goes in the net or not, or if it's a goal or not, and it's goaltender interference and you make contact with the goalie, then it's goalie interference across the board.
Here's the problem with that. You're going to get a guy who's going to be super smart that's going to come up and play on the top of the crease, right on the edge of the blue. Right. And every single time, all he has to do is hunch his shoulders. And I'm going to tell you who does this a lot. Mike Smith in Edmonton.
Yeah.
He instigates contact on a lot of plays around the crease. And I'm always going, either he's brilliant or he's an idiot, because he's either going to get the goal taken away or he's going to make a great save and it's going to look like he was interfered with and draw the penalty for goalie interference. He's right. One of the best in the league at doing it.
So is Price.
I'll give you that too, but you know what? He's probably in between having a shot, so it don't count.
Yeah.
I hate Carey Price, but there's so much in baseball. The ball's either fair or foul. It's either a home run or it's not. And you have, you know, the strike zone is left up into interpretation, which is still something I don't, you know, it's whatever. But hockey is the only sport where the play could happen five times and you get four different rulings.
It's ridiculous. It's so crazy.
But you know what the problem is? It's going to force them back into that draconian rule they had in the 90s, where if a bit of your skate is over in that blue area, they're going to
Brett Hull.
Brett Hull in the crease.
But unfortunately, unless they can get it right, they're going to have to go to an all or nothing.
Right.
Exactly. No, I mean, look, this is going to be – tonight's game is going to definitely be a turning point in this series. I think the Rangers have been the better team through the two games. I think they should be up 2-0 in this series. And the additions that Drury made at the deadline, Vetrano, Kopp, those guys, if there's a way for him to extend these players in the offseason and keep them around, he needs to do it, because these guys have meant so much to this Rangers team this year.
Do you know how many people have texted me and said, I don't remember Kopp being this good in Winnipeg. And I was like, you don't ever remember him playing with a guy like Panarin in Winnipeg. That's why.
You know what's funny? I knew you were going to say that, but if you go and look at almost every goal he scored, Strom has fed him.
Yeah.
It's amazing, because I love this kid. He came out of nowhere. He honestly opened my eyes, because I was like, when they made the trade, I'm like, if they go to the finals, it cost us a first. What
Drury
the hell?
Drury did his homework.
He did. He really did. He
addressed the areas they needed help with most. He had to shore up that top six. You know, Jimmy and I have both been saying that since the second week of the season, when Sammy Blais went down, they never filled that. Now they did, which was huge. And so they made that move. And then they got Braun to back up the defense, give him a little bit of extra brawn.
100 playoff.
A little bit of extra, you know, vet. I mean, that defense is the youngest defense in the playoffs. Their average age is, what, 23?
Right. Lindgren's out again tonight is what I was told.
What's the update?
Is it Nemeth or Braun?
I think Braun's in the game. He's going to stay. I think they're staying with the same six from last game as well.
Yeah, I would think they would stay with the same lineup. I mean,
Miller offensively has stepped up tremendously, but he still sucks in his own zone. I'm sorry. If you watch Sidney Crosby
on Trouba.
Where he broke his stick when Crosby had the empty net and broke his stick, what is Miller doing? Literally standing in front of Shesterkin, watching the puck go through his legs to the guy he's supposed to be covering and turning around and looking, and I'm going,
he's going to destroy that guy.
He is literally the 2022 version of Willie Huber. He hits no one. He's non-physical. He is intimidated the minute. If you remember the second week to the end of the season when they played Pittsburgh ran him out of the building. Every chance they got, they hit Miller, and by the end of the game, he was afraid of contact.
You can't be afraid of contact in the playoffs.
You just froze me by saying Willie Huber. It's like that was a bad flashback. I remember when they got him from Detroit in the Duguay deal.
You remember the chant at the Garden? Huber for a hostage.
There were a lot of chants back then.
Yeah. The Garden could be a raucous place this time of year.
People used to call him like Willie Blubber, because he looked like he was heavy and slow, and you know, it just.
But he was 6'6", 245. He was the biggest guy on the ice and was afraid of his own shadow.
They used to call him a pylon on skate. I mean, you name it. I mean, Jimmy.
Yeah, coach.
And the thing is, this guy was in the Duguay deal, and you know. But at that point, Barry Beck was getting injured a lot, and so he was supposed to be his replacement.
Yep.
And he never did that. Nothing close. No.
Miller offensively is gifted, I'll tell you that. He could go – and you know what it is? That 11-foot wingspan of a reach going on to the outside, you can't catch him. If he shields the puck away from you, you can't get near him. But it's when he comes back in his own zone, and he's literally afraid of contact. Like, I've never seen a player – shy away. Even after a whistle, if you watch, he will never come into a scrum. And I'm going to say this. You know who's depressed the hell out of me in the last 2 weeks of the season and in the first two games of the playoffs? Alexei Lafreniere is a bully. He's in everybody's face after a whistle. He is crap-talking Sidney Crosby every chance he gets on the ice. He's hitting everything that moves. And if you, in the third overtime, he took a 60-foot run at Letang that if he would have hit him, he would have killed him. And I'm saying to myself, he plays his best games against the Devils, the Flyers, the Penguins, and the Islanders. He was built for this division. And when it all comes together, he's going to be a megastar.
Yeah, he's going to definitely be a megastar for sure. I mean, he's definitely been impressive. But it's like that across the league. If you look at this, if you've been watching all the playoff games, you can see it. Even all these guys, these young guys, these star players, skilled players, finishing checks, hitting guys, just playing physical, and you love to see it. Even the Toronto series, Marner, Matthews, Nylander finishing checks, Kachuk, Lindholm, those guys are finishing their checks. All it's like once the playoffs are turned on, like all these guys that have skill are finally realizing that they have to hit somebody.
This is the most physical playoffs in the last 15 years.
And one of probably so far one of the more high scoring affairs too.
Well, it's also the first full season plus playoffs in 3 years. So you sometimes lose your speed legs after skating that many games, but your physicality arrives every time if you want to.
What have you thought of Kako's game?
I think it's coming back, and I'll be honest with you, I love that line. Hedl's a finesse center. Kako's got an edge to his game, and Lafreniere is taking crap from nobody. So I think it balances out. I'm going to tell you this. The score tonight is going to be 6-3 Rangers with an empty netter. Kako's going to score two.
Nice. I like that. That'll put a smile on Rangers fans' faces everywhere.
I really like Kako. I just wish to God he wasn't made out of porcelain.
Oh, he's played so well this year, too.
In fairness to him, Ricky, the guy is a diabetic, and diabetics don't heal as quick as everybody else, unfortunately.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right about that. You are. Goodrow is a big loss. Broken ankle.
Yeah, that's a huge loss for them. I mean, broken ankle. And he played, four periods with a broken ankle?
Four periods with a broken ankle, man. That's insane.
Does that happen.
That's such a tough loss. Do you know who's coming in for him?
For Goodrow?
Yeah. Hunt's playing. Yeah. Okay.
Now, here's what bothers me. There's no sign of Lindgren. From what I was told, Goodrow's there with a cast on. Sammy Blaze traveling with the team. No one's seen Lindgren, so that no one's discussing a single thing was wrong with him. That makes me worry that it might be more serious than what they're letting on.
What are they listing? Like upper body, lower body?
Upper body injury, which I'm wondering is when he nailed that guy coming down the boards. Wondering if he popped his shoulder out.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, he had to have popped his shoulder out from that hit.
Was a brilliant hit too.
That was a great hit.
Did you anybody notice who has taken like about 10 big runs at Crosby in this series? Jacob Trouba has hit out of Crosby every chance he's gotten.
Trouba's played a physical game this year. He stepped up physical. Like I knew he was physical in Winnipeg.
He had those two games back to back where he knocked guys out.
Out cold. Yeah.
Cold.
Colorado and Chicago.
Yep.
And you know what's amazing? Both teams went out after the games and traded for minor league goons. They realized both teams, but they didn't play the guys. But Colorado went out and got one, and Chicago went out and got one. And it was like, Trouba is – you know what it is, man? You like Ryan Reeves, people could say what they want. I called the Reeves trade 3 months before it happened. I even had to the pick right. The minute they hired Gallant, I knew Reeves was coming here. But there's an old expression. And David Quinn used it in an interview on Cam and Strick. You can't drive 16 luxury cars without insurance. And Vigneault said,
you need to have a few dump trucks in the parking lot.
You can't carry a gun without a bullet.
Right. That bullet's Ryan Reeves.
Ryan Reeves came out on the ice with 2 minutes left. Not one Penguin pulled any crap. He didn't instigate anything either because I'm sure he was told, look, we have the game. Don't take a stupid penalty. We'll get him. Sometimes during the series, Carter's going to pay, okay? But every game with a big lead in the playoffs so far has had a ton of fights and scrums in the last 2-3 minutes of the game where Pittsburgh literally looked like, we're sorry, Mr. Reeves. His hit on Malkin is absolutely a thing of beauty. Absolutely launched him 4 feet in the air, and Malkin is no small guy. Ryan Reeves is a Mack truck hitting bumper cars.
He really is. He really, really is. It's great to see. I mean, look, this Rangers team, we've been on them since the beginning. I always thought this was the year they were going to take the next step and make the playoff. Been very impressed with what Drury's done. And I thought they have a nice matchup with the Penguins in this series. It's just going to be interesting to see how they play tonight.
It should be 2-0.
It should be, yeah, definitely, right,
but
sure.
But it's very tough to play against two teams at once.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely,
I'm going to jump off in a second, but I want to give you my picks today real quick. I think Colorado is going to be 6-1. I told you 6-3 Rangers. What do we got tonight? We got Calgary.
Calgary and Dallas. Calgary, who you got?
Calgary tonight, there's finally going to be some goals scored, 4-2 Calgary on that one. I love the Calgary Flames. They're my pick. It's going to be Calgary, Colorado coming out of the West, but I'm praying it's Calgary. I want to see Tkachuk get a cup.
Me too. And Washington is about to go up 2-1. They're up 5-1 on Florida.
I really think Washington's going to win that series in five.
So I think they're going to win this series. I don't know about five, but I think so.
Six in this series and easy six, because I figured Florida was going to steal two home games, but very close.
Yeah. I got to jump off, guys. I love you. Best of luck. And anytime you want to have me. And listen, Tuesday or Wednesday, if any of you guys want to jump on with me, I'm free to record anytime you want. Tuesday or Wednesday night, we could do the three of us again on my show.
Absolutely, for
Send
sure.
Send me
the
invite
great.
For Wednesdays. Tuesdays, I got a ref.
Oh, we'll do it Wednesday.
Unless you want me live from the ice, mic'd up.
Let's do it. Let's do that. That would be amazing. And
that would be sick.
We can actually tell one of the teams you're Pittsburgh, and we'll screw the other team all game long.
That'd be great. One team that swears I'm against them.
That's it. There's always one, you know.
The commissioner said you don't want them to call penalties. Shut your mouths and don't take stupid penalties, and you won't get any.
And you won't get calls on you.
Exactly. Yep.
Let's Ricky, go, Rangers, guys. I'll see you soon.
Thanks for coming out, Ricky. That was Love Ricky's the best. Real quick, you know, I just want to get your thoughts on the rest of the playoffs and your thoughts on other series. We kind of touched on a bunch of them. What have your thoughts been of Toronto?
Well, I'm not so much that I'm impressed with Toronto being up 2-1. Or more just scratching my head saying, like, did the champs forget to turn the switch on? You know, that's an interesting series over there. The greatest goalie on the planet the last 2 or 3 years has looked a little mortal. And
he's looked human.
He's looked very, very mortal, very, very human. And that's not part of the winning plan for this team.
No, it's not.
He's not supposed to be mortal. And so I think that if he stays mortal, you know what? Toronto could win that series, but you know what? Toronto's been up 3-1 a number of times. They're only up 2-1 now, but they've been up 3-1, and they've spit the bit. So if Toronto's a stock, I'm not buying yet. And if Tampa's a stock,
are they going to be able to flip the script? Because we know what Tampa's record, Vasilevsky's record, is after losses in the playoffs over the last 2 years. Is it's 15-0 following a loss in a Stanley Cup playoffs.
Jimmy, this has a seven game series written all over.
I agree. I think it's going back to Toronto for seven games. As much as people in Toronto don't want to hear it,
it's going to go back to Toronto. It's going to be seven games, and the problem is that gives them no home ice advantage whatsoever, because the champs play so much better lockdown defense on the road than they do at home.
Yes, they do. I agree. I mean, I think I've been really impressed with what Toronto's done throughout this series. You know, yesterday, a couple of turning points. They got the breaks going their way. You know, Colton on the side of the door when it was 3-1 could have made it 3-2 going into the period. Instead, it's 3-1.
Yep.
Then they make it 3-2. It could have been a tie game in that third period. Well, who knows what?
Well, that game's That game's really a 3-2 game. There's a couple of empty net goals.
Right, but I'm saying Colton late in the second period when they had just made it 3-1, could have made it 3-2. He rings it off the iron. It might be a different game if that's 3-2.
I think one of the big differences in that game for Toronto to win it is, one, you got what's his name back on defense, and he plays great.
Giordano?
No, the other dude.
Muzzin.
Muzzin, yeah. Yeah, Muzzin, he played great, especially on the penalty, on the PK, without a doubt, a little grit. And number 44 snuck in a couple of times and sniped from down low, which is something he couldn't do when he didn't have other defenders out there freeing him up and making him play a lot more minutes. So he joined the offense, which now opens it up for Marner and for Matthews.
Yeah, I mean, Marner and Matthews are in the series. So is Nylander. I think they definitely need more from Tavares in the series, but they're getting
but
depth.
Tavares is playing that defensive second.
Right, exactly. Center, so. And but the best thing is for Sheldon Keefe, he's got enough depth on this team. You can rotate in Spezza, Kamp, Kasha. Sure. You got Engvall. You have Mikheyev. So they have more depth this year than they've had in years past.
I definitely like this Toronto team better than the last 4 or 5 years, no question. I just don't know if you can beat the champs in a seventh game. It's just because I just – they're the champs, and getting knocked out in the first round, I can't buy that stock yet.
Every team outside
– Toronto finished it in six.
Jay's right. Toronto's definitely playing a faster game. To me, I read up on this. The teams in the modern era that have been going for three-peats have all been knocked out in the second round. Prior to that, it was the Islanders when they were trying to go for five when they lost to Gretzky's Oilers. And even after Gretzky's Oilers were trying to go, they lost in the second round. So
even Edmonton got when the Steve Smith goal, that was in the conference finals, which was the second round.
Yeah, so they definitely are a team that's played a lot of hockey. Toronto's definitely motivated. If this didn't get them motivated enough playing on the Stanley Cup champions in the first round of the playoffs, I don't know what has, but I'm definitely intrigued to watch this series. I'm intrigued.
What's Coach Jay been saying? Because I see that he's had a few pop-ups, but I can't read him without glasses.
He just said he said Campbell's playing like chunky soup versus tomato liquid. He said that Calgary's ready for playoff hockey, and they definitely are with Darryl Sutter.
Yeah, but that was a given. That was a given,
but the fact that they've scored three goals while everybody else is backing up goals left and right is crazy.
Well, they're going to play Sutter-style hockey, which means instead of 6-5 games, you're going to see 3-2, 2-1, 1-0 games. No mistakes. Make the other team make the mistake, counterpunch. And you know, let's face it, Dallas, you know, they got a little hot toward the end. They made the playoffs, kind of settled their goalie situation, but I still say it over and over again. I'm gonna harp on it. They got a lot of money invested in two top guys who don't produce like two top guys, and that's what's keeping this team as like a 7-8 seed.
Right. It's gonna be interesting now with how Calgary adjusts with Radulov back in the lineup for Dallas tonight. And I think Markstrom's been playing well for Calgary despite they losing 2-0. Attinger's been good shot for shot.
Rule of thumb, when it's a 2-0 or 1-0 loss, don't ever point a finger at a goalie.
No, because it's not their fault.
It's not their fault.
Calgary's offense. Calgary's offense has to step up. Colorado's offense has been great against Nashville. It's a shame Saros wasn't in the first two games. I mean, this Connor Ingram kid played great in game two to have that game go to overtime. I think Nashville gets one game and it's over in five.
Well, I'll tell you another series that I've been watching, and it should be 3-0 and not 2-1 right now, which is Edmonton, LA.
Absolutely.
LA looks like a AAA team. They look like they belong in the AHL. And close to the playoffs.
What are you, Paul Bissonnette over there? See, he was saying that the Kings are a minor league franchise too.
Did he?
Yeah, he did.
Who said that?
Paul Bissonnette on Spit and Chicklets. He did say that.
Okay. All right.
But now he's on the same wavelength. But I agree. I think that series should be 3-0 Edmonton. But
it shouldn't be 2-1. They stole that game, which that happens. The question. But Jonathan Quick was anything but quick last night.
No, Edmonton, he looked horrible.
Scoring early and often. What Kane have? The Hattie?
Kane had a hat trick. Hyman had two. Drysdale had one. Nugent Hopkins had two.
But the key is Mr. Smith comes to the playoffs.
Yeah,
that
but
team was built around a 41-year-old goalie, and as long as he stays,
who's
healthy,
rested? Who's
yeah, he's
rested?
He's rested because he was injured 3/4 of the season.
It's like Carey Price last year, except
I was thinking the same thing, Jimmy. As I was watching, I said Edmonton's going to be this year's Canadiens. They're going to go to the freaking finals because they're rested and healthy. And everybody else is beating each other up.
Right. But to me, Mike Smith still has holes that he needs to fill because there were some shots that were shaky on him in the last couple of games.
True. But when your team can put up points like they're doing right now, you can get away with it. They're going to have to turn that defense and clamp it down a little bit more. You know, you're going to have to ask Mr. Keith to turn back the clock. Nurse is going to have
He's playing well. the Oilers' depth is coming through in this series. More than this is what that needed to happen against this
Kane
LA
has finally got his sea legs.
Well, he even said it yesterday. He said it took about half of my season to get my legs going.
Of course,
now I'm going. Now I'm playing well. So he's definitely into it. He's into this season. He's playing well, and they have balance throughout their lineup, and their defense is holding up. You
and
just
the coaching
hope
change did wonders too.
Jay Woodcroft
they weren't
was
listening
great
at the tip anymore.
Mm-mm, no way. You
tip
know what?
Lost the room.
You know another series that could be 3-0. Minnesota and St. Louis.
100% agree. St. Louis looked like they didn't even – St. Louis, my family, St. Louis fans and everybody out there,
Kings.
You guys didn't show up. You weren't there yesterday. You home. You had your game three in your own building, and the other guys looked like they controlled everything. Your crowd was dead.
They put up 10 goals in the last two games against your goaltender. I would not be shocked to see Binnington in game four for St. Louis.
I don't think they have a choice other than to do that. Because Minnesota solved the other guy.
Well, and it doesn't help St. Louis that they've lost three defenders. Torrey Crew's going to be out a while after what happened last night. So they have injuries, but it doesn't matter. You know, St. Louis took the first game. They haven't been able to score a 5-on-5 goal against Minnesota in this series.
It's not going to cut it when you can't score goals when you're leaking oil like they are.
No, you can't do it.
You can't do it. And the thing is, then that's only going to give more confidence to Minnesota, especially with having a Hall of Fame goaltender in net for the playoffs. It's one of those kind of teams, like they got to win that first round to get their momentum. And once they get their momentum and start to feel who they are, they're really, really going to be very tough. And St. Louis is just giving them this first round.
Exactly. And to me, it reminds me of last year when everybody coming in, you said it last year, you thought St. Louis could pull the upset against Colorado. Colorado made them look silly, and Minnesota's doing the same thing now.
It's like since they won the cup in 19, they've been a no-show.
Rick, thanks for the comment. I will see you tomorrow. I am the rink master. That's right. I don't know. I think Mark has that title, though, because he's there more than me. But
I don't know about that. And if it's true, don't tell my wife.
Sure. No, but I mean, look. Definitely, I agree with that. I think since 19, I thought this team was built like a 19 team, but they haven't played like it outside of game one. David,
since game seven in 2019, they've been a no-show for the playoffs.
Zero, no-show. And Fleury's flowers blooming. That's right, Jay. Marc-Andre Fleury, this is the reason why Minnesota got Marc-Andre Fleury.
Exactly.
This is exact. Outside of the game one where three of those goals, two of those goals are on the power play, a couple of bad bounces, he's really settled in. This team is taking off. There's a reason why they had 20 goal scorers on this team, 6-20 goal scorers. Kaprizov looks good. Joel Eriksson-Ek.
I like Eriksson-Ek. That's an underrated guy if I've ever seen one.
He was really good for the Sweden junior team. I've always liked this player. He's been really, really good.
Just a consistent kind of guy. And it's like those are the people who shine in the playoffs. The guys who can play the two-way hockey.
Right, exactly. And he's been playing two-way hockey and a lot. You're going to need that in the playoffs. I mean, look, yes, while Boston's back in the series because they reunited the perfection line and, you know, they got Coyler going with DeBrusk and everything, I think Carolina's still going to take that series. But, again, it's going to come down to goaltending.
Carolina's definitely going to take that series. I thought Swayman should have been in their starting goaltender.
All right, she should have been a game two starter.
He should have been the starting goaltender since game one. That was my opinion. It's like I didn't understand the reason why it didn't happen.
But I think because Omark was 9-1-1 down the stretch.
Yeah, I get it. But the other guy, I just feel is just a little quicker, and he's got a lot.
But
more
when you get blown out in game one, you should try to make the change.
Right, especially since it's not like you're holding tight with the guy who's got a playoff history where you say, he's going to rebound. He's been here before.
Right.
Neither one of them has been here before.
But I would rather go with Swayman.
Exactly. It's like take the mindset that Al Arbor took with Resch and Smith in the 70s. He bounced back and forth between the two of them until finally Billy Smith emerged as the guy.
Right.
Eventually, someone's got to be the guy or you don't win the cup. But
no.
You can't stay tight with one guy after he's been blown out.
No, you can't. And the fact that Omar gave up 10 goals in two games does not help the situation. And now the series is 2-1. It's a different series.
Mm-hmm.
Their power play is starting to click. They've kind of solved the penalty kill, though Brendan Moore was impressed with that team. I still think Carolina figures out a way to finish the series off and move on to the next round. But I even said from the beginning, I wouldn't, if Boston plays like this, I'm not shocked that they beat Carolina.
You know, I wouldn't be shocked if they beat Carolina. They could win. They're a team set up to win one round. That's right. For sure. But the thing is, even if they don't beat Carolina, Carolina is not leaving this series unnicked.
No, they are not.
That's the problem for Carolina, is because this is not what they wanted. They did not want to have to be in a series in a first round that's going to be a war.
No, exactly. And they tried to stay away from getting into physicality stuff until game three, and it cost them. That's why
winning the division was not a bonus. It's like the Rangers knew all along that not winning the division would give them Pittsburgh, and that would have been a better first round matchup. Because even if anything you want to say about Pittsburgh, you know, if you're a Pittsburgh fan, the bottom line is, you know, they're not a physical team.
No.
And so that means that the winner of this series doesn't come out of the series nicked up physically as much as Carolina Boston will.
No, exactly. 100% agreed. And similar goes with Tampa Toronto. They're going to be 100%. Nicked up. St. Louis, Minnesota, those teams are going to get nicked up.
Well, the closer Tampa gets to elimination, if that ever occurs, they're going to throw the kitchen sink at Toronto, and they're going to bang the heck out of them.
Exactly, and they're going to have to, because you saw what happened at the end of game one when it got nasty and physical and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, these playoffs, you know, the scoring is up. It's been fun to watch, and, we got game threes tonight. It's going to be fun.
Right. I love the 2-1 game, just like the next guy, but I don't want every game to be a 2-1 game. I like to see variety in the playoffs. I like to see different character and different series. And I like to see it where the players shine, not the systems.
Exactly. I agree. I like to see the players shine, and the skill seems to be on display, especially in that Edmonton LA series.
Yeah. I'm glued to that one. You haven't seen it. The Edmonton Oilers of the 1980s have not been here for 35 years.
And they're starting to come back.
But the thing is, like, each franchise always has an identity. And Edmonton's identity were those high-scoring, high-octane teams. And that's a franchise identity. And now that this team can do that, I think that makes the fans even more interested.
And the fans are eager to see if Calgary can get by Dallas, because I think both those fan bases would go absolutely nuts for Battle of Alberta.
Of Alberta would be crazy.
I would love to see it. I want to see that so badly.
Which is why I've chirped for years about, I understand why the playoff structure is the way it is. And I get it. And I can't knock the structure on its own in a vacuum, but I'll knock it based on my history in the game. And I used to love those Patrick Division.
Oh, I love it.
Because the Islanders, when they won their Stanley Cups, they were battle-tested, because the teams in their own division beat the crap out of them, and they beat the crap out of those teams. They went 7
even
or 5
in the Smythe division.
Yeah, exactly. And you earned your stripes in your division. You won your division championship, then you went to the conference in the finals. I like that because those rivalry games, you can't fool a team you played 7 times in the regular season.
No, you can't. You can't do that. You can't fool those teams. The old school division format.
Loved it.
Look, Gary said the format's not changing. I agree.
Not changing, but I just loved it.
No, but I'm saying don't add more teams. Don't expand. It's fine the way it is.
Don't do that.
16 teams is good. You want to say 1 through 8, whatever. It doesn't matter.
Here's the crazy thing. I actually finally agree with Bettman on something.
So do
the
I.
The structure is good. Leave it.
And as I said in my article, I said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But what's the point of adding more teams when the Islanders and Blue Jackets were 19 to 16 points behind Washington? 8 teams in the Eastern Conference had over 100 points. 13 out of 16 teams had over 100 points. Some good team, regardless if it was 1 through 8 or what the format we have now, was going home early in the first round.
You know what? It's a societal thing where people always complain. It's unfair. Guess what, people? Life is unfair.
Definitely.
You bounce back from it. You know what? I don't think there's one Islander fan out there, if you spoke to him today, would say, we deserve to make the playoffs.
No,
they know their team didn't deserve to make the playoffs.
Even the players know that. The players said down the stretch, we didn't deserve to get in because we didn't play our best.
Exactly. And you know what? The rules, you see, it's not like the goalposts are moving here. The goal's been staying right in the same spot. It don't move. The bottom line is, these were the rules in the beginning of the season. It just so happens that the East was really top heavy.
Exactly, you know it was.
West gave us more action. you know, throughout the whole year because there was a lot of what ifs. And that's good, too. It's great that there were two different types of conferences for us to see. Just enjoy it, people. Man,
exactly. And enjoy the playoffs because there's a lot of games on. They're greatly staggered. The times have been great. You can catch them all. It's not like you're panicking because two are on at the same time. You have a 7, a 7:30, a 9:30. You got a 10. It's perfectly staggered the way it is, and you can enjoy all the games.
It's like I know you get deeper into the playoffs, and that's where the excitement comes from. But first round NHL hockey is like it's like almost like the first round of the NCAA basketball tournament. You're just watching from game to game. You know, you're flicking from channel to channel because one game's in overtime, the other game's just starting and stuff. And I love what TNT's been doing where when they have two games on at the same time, they'll show you like where the other game is. So if it's an intermission, you know there's 2 minutes left.
Absolutely. I love it. And I love the fact. Yeah, absolutely. They're doing a great job. I mean, I think ESPN's doing a little bit better than TNT with the commentary and getting you back and forth. But overall, first round of the playoffs been very, very exciting. And just more action tonight. I want to thank Ricky for coming on, talking hockey earlier. Hope to get on his show. We could do it again there. And Mark, Coach Jay for texting in. Love the comments. Everybody who came in, Rick, everybody's been viewing this. Captain Mark,
can I throw down a gauntlet right now to one of our competitors in about a hockey tournament, or should I save that for next week?
Yeah, I'll save it for next time.
I'll save it for next week.
Save it for next week.
Yeah, I'll do that. Spoiler alert. No
spoiler alert. For Coach Jay, for Ricky, for Mark, I'm Jim Berenger. This has been Final Word on Hockey, Season 3, Episode 26.
Yeah.
26. We always have the last word on everything. Have a good night. Enjoy the games. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.